Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes, and I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here we are in week two of our sermon series for the new year, Purposeful Prayers, Powerful Results, Unleashing the Power and Purpose of Prayer. And this, of course, aligns with our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And as you've heard already this morning, we are now on day three of those 21 days. And we hope that this series will help you to discover or rediscover that transformative power of intentional prayer in your life. And we want to explore how purposeful prayer unlocks God's power and brings real change and spiritual transformation in your life. When we persist in prayer, our prayer life always progresses from duty to discipline to delight. And our prayer as we go through this series is that attitudes to prayer will change. That your prayer life can progress from one of duty or maybe even guilt and discipline to one of delight. That people would desire to pray more. I believe that when praying becomes your habit, miracles become your lifestyle. When prayer becomes your habit, then miracles become your lifestyle. And the title of my message today is simply this: Practical Prayer and Fasting. And simple. Practical prayer and fasting. And David did a great job last week in his message unpacking what prayer is and why we should be praying. So today, this morning, I want to unpack a little bit my journey in prayer, but then I want to focus in mostly on fasting. What is fasting? Why we should do it? How we should do it? But let's start with a question. What is prayer? Well, quite simply, prayer is talking and listening to God. Prayer is a natural expression of our relationship with God. And like any relationship that we have, if we want to grow and we want to develop and be intimate in that relationship, then we have to communicate with each other. And that involves talking as well as listening. We depend on God for everything. Even life itself. Prayer expresses this dependence as we ask God for what we need. Jesus says that people who trust him know God as the loving Father. God is not like our human fathers who are flawed and sometimes mistreat their children, even unintentionally. God is our perfect Father, loves and cares for his children perfectly. Jesus teaches his followers to pray to God as our Father, simply and directly, trusting God to answer our prayers in a way that is best for each and every single one of us. We don't need anyone to stand between us and God. We have direct access to God as we pray. And Jesus also warns against hypocrisy in prayer. That is when we try and impress others with our prayers. Like when you change your language, when you change how you speak just because you're praying in front of people. Like, keep it real. Keep it simple. Like, speak to God as you would speak to your husband or your wife or your friends. Speak how you would normally speak. And also, we don't pray with the aim of pressuring God into giving us what we want. The more we read the Bible, the more we understand God's values, plans, and purposes. And as a result, our prayers will be more shaped and informed by the will of God. All our prayer comes under the simple request, your will be done. Taken, of course, from the Lord's Prayer that David spoke about last week. And prayer is not indicative of inaction. It is the opportunity to seek guidance from the only one who actually has the answers. We pray and then we move with better direction. When we are in our own heads about what to do, who to be and how to act, we rarely get better results and feeling confident that God is directing our paths. So it's a two-part process. We pray and then we act. And I used to think that prayer was solely a way for me to bring change around me. But I've learned that even more so, prayer is God's way of bringing change in me. Not just change around me, but change within me. Prayer is much more than what we say prior to eating our dinner. Quite honestly, prayer has become a lifestyle for me. It's a conversation, and it's something that God encourages us to do often. To pray without ceasing means to be in daily communication with God in various ways. We need Him, and so the only way that we can seek God's work through us and our petitions to Him is by actually praying. Prayer should not only be daily, but happening multiple times throughout the day. And if your prayers have ever been answered, then you'll know how much prayer works. Prayer not only works, but it is vital in a Christian's life. It's vital in my life, it's vital in my family's life, it's vital in my ministry that I need to be praying each and every single day. But the question is, how did I get to this place? See, I didn't just give my life to Jesus and suddenly I was praying every day. Like most things, it's a process. You see, I came to faith through the Church of Scotland, through an Alpha course in the Church of Scotland, but only the minister ever prayed. It didn't matter what event you went to, where you went, it was only the minister that ever prayed. And it was a big deal if someone from the congregation was praying one day. That was a big deal. That was a big deal. And then I'm sure you'd be in those situations where you're in a prayer meeting together and maybe you're sitting in a circle and they start praying and then suddenly they start going around the circle one after the other. You ever been there? And you're sitting there looking, oh no, that means I'm going to be fourth. What am I going to pray? And then suddenly the person who's second prays the same thing you want to pray. You ever been in that situation? And you're sitting there thinking, oh man, what am I going to pray now? What am I going to say now? I'm going to look really stupid. I'm going to end up saying the same thing that somebody else has already said. But the more that I read the Bible, I realised that my prayer life wasn't like those people I was reading about in the Bible. I'm thinking, there must be so much more than me sitting there panicking because it's going to be me speaking forth and having to pray. What am I going to say because somebody else has already prayed it? See, I like to ask questions. I like to find out more. Let me tell you, I had FOMO about prayer before FOMO was even a thing. And if you don't know what FOMO is, it's a fear of missing out. Like I had that fear that I was missing stuff because I'm thinking, I'm reading the Bible and these guys are seeing buildings shaking, they're seeing people getting healed, they're seeing all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I didn't see that happening in my life. Like, I want that. How is that not happening for me? Like, why does that not happen every time I pray? Why is the church building no shaking? Maybe because half of us were sleeping, but like, why is the building no shaking and as we're praying? Like, why is that not happening for me? And so I had this journey asking questions about prayer. And I was really confused because only the minister prayed. It was a big deal if anybody else prayed publicly. Then I came across a book that totally changed my opinion and my attitude towards prayer. And I remember the first time I read this book, I read it through in one sitting. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I read the whole book through in one sitting. I was totally engrossed in this book. This book was answering my questions and so much more. It was answering the question about what do I pray when the person who's second and I'm fourth prays first. It answered all these questions, and it was an amazing book. And I've been trying to find it all week in my bookcase, and I cannot find it. So if you have this book and it belongs to me, can I have it back, please? But the book is called How Not to Pray by Jeff Lucas. It's quite an old book now, and it's an amazing book. He deals with all these issues that I've just raised, all these things I was experiencing in my prayer life, and he answers them really, really simply, really funny as well. So that's totally changed my opinion on prayer. I realise it does not matter if that person's prayed what I want to pray. I can still pray the same thing. It does not matter. I can say the same thing. I can pray the same thing. I don't have to change how I'm speaking. I don't suddenly have to have all the fancy words and full of theology. I can just pray what's on my heart. I can just say how I'm feeling. I can just say to God what it is I'm looking for, what it is I think I need or the situation is demanding. Like, I don't need, like, if you ever hear me praying for you, like, I pray the most simple prayers, like, but God answers. God answers, and I've seen loads of people be healed. I've seen loads of things happening, miracles. I just pray. I'm not got any fancy words. And then the second book that totally changed how I prayed, and David and I were chatting because there's been a bit of controversy about the person who wrote this book, and the book is called The Fourth Dimension, Discovering a New World of Answered Prayer by Dr. David Yonggi Cho. He had, when he was alive, he was the senior pastor of the largest church in America, in South Korea. But this book taught me about how to be specific when I was praying. Be specific. There's a great story in the book where he was praying for a bike and he was looking for a bike to travel around and he wasn't getting his bike. And he felt God saying to him one day, "Ah, but you've not really told me what kind of bike you want. What colour is it to be?" So he prayed for his red bike and he got his red bike. Like, it taught me so much about being specific in prayer. Be specific, and it really changed how I started to pray. And I tell you, I am not a long prayer meeting fan. Like, I remember when the first Friday that we had to go into lockdown and we were thinking how we're going to do our Friday morning prayer meeting, so we thought we'll try it on Facebook Live. And the original plan was that Michael and I would be in the same place together and two of us would pray for people on Facebook. Michael got COVID and he was sick and I was left on my own for the whole hour. And I remember sitting there on this Facebook Live in my dining room, people were firing in prayer requests onto the chat and I was praying for all these prayer requests. For a whole hour. Like, I was just like, I had to go and lie down after that. Like, that just was not my thing. Like, that's just not my thing. I prefer short prayers all the way through the day. That's what I prefer. And so, next week, there's quite a lot of the pastoral team going off to the pastor's prayer gathering. We're going to be praying for 3 hours on Tuesday night and then praying for 3 hours on Wednesday morning. I can't wait. Actually, it's going to be really, really good because they split it up really well. But if you ask me to go and just pray for 3 hours straight without a break, I would really struggle. See, learning to pray greatly impacted my faith and my whole life. And I could share on and on and on the impact of prayer in my life. However, I know that there are many of us get discouraged in our prayers when we feel like they're left unanswered, or simply when the answer to our prayer is no. But prayer is so much more than just simply asking God to give us things. It's an opportunity to tell off His good, opportunity to worship Him, to tell off His goodness, to thank Him, to intercede on behalf of others, to repent, and more importantly, to listen and hear what God is saying to us. It's important to realize that the atmosphere and format of prayer will always vary from person to person and situation to situation. We have to find a way that works for us as individuals when it comes to prayer. And people often ask me, "Stephen, what does your daily prayer routine look like?" As if I'm some sort of super spiritual prayer guru, and like, I think they get a bit disappointed when I tell them what I do every day. Well, let me tell you how I pray every day. I wake up in the morning quite early, about 5:30. I'll pray before I read my Bible, before I do anything else. And I'm just thanking God for the gift of His Word. I'm asking for words, phrases, or principles that I'm going to read that will be highlighted to me as I'm reading that morning. I'm being attentive to what the Holy Spirit is saying as I'm reading. It's saying about what I should write in my little devotional every day that I write on social media. And that's all I pray. Like, thank you, Jesus, for your Word today. I just pray that you'll speak to me through it, that you'll highlight words, stories, or principles that I've read over and over again, but I just pray something fresh will come today as I read. And Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to write from my little devotional. That is it. And then as I get up, and after I've done that, I get showered, go for a walk with the dog, normally about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I pray for the day as I walk the dog. And currently, I'm using a little app, and some people have heard this app before, called Lectio 365, and it's from Pete Gregg and the 24/7 prayer people, and it's a brilliant little app, and basically it's just guided prayers each and every single day. And I don't do it for the whole year. I just like it currently that I'm listening to that. It lasts about 10-15 minutes, and then I listen to that, then I just pray for the rest of the time I'm walking the dog, praying about the day. And then a funny thing happened to me one day when I was walking the dog. So I'm walking the dog and I just get so caught up and what I'm praying, and suddenly I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying along in tongues, and I pass this lady who I see quite often, and we normally stop and the dogs can interact, and I chat to her, and I passed her without even realising, and I'm caught up praying in tongues out loud, and then I suddenly realise that somebody's there, and I stop, and I look round, and the lady's just standing there, looking at me. Is this some sort of crazy dude? But I was just so caught up in the moment. And then for a few weeks she used to avoid me. But she speaks to me now. It's good. It's all fixed. So I pray in the morning and I pray throughout the day. As I sit at my desk and I'm going to start a piece of work, I'll pray before I'll say a prayer before I write an email. If I'm driving to meet somebody, if I'm coming to meet you somewhere, I'm praying as I'm driving. Praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help me, to speak through me, to give me something that I can share. As I meet people and they ask me to pray, like David said last week, if somebody says, can you pray for me, I'm going to pray for them right there and then. Because if I don't, I'm not going to pray for them, I'll forget. So if you meet me somewhere and say, can you pray for this, we'll pray right there. Regardless if it's in the supermarket, coffee shop, whatever it is, we'll just pray right there. Because I forget. I'm just being honest. As we gather as a family for dinner, I want to tell you, those prayers are quite short. Pray before I go to bed, including for people who are sick. I keep a list on my phone of people who need healing, and I pray for them every day. And let me tell you, this is not a set in stone format. This is just what I currently do, and I just share it as encouragement, like I'm not some sort of prayer guru, to show you how simple it is to have a rich prayer life where you hear God speaking to you each and every single day. You don't need to copy what I do, but you need to find a rhythm and a format that works for you. Let me tell you, I've prayed for people in all sorts of situations and locations, from Costa to sitting at the bottom of the stairs in a nursing home praying for a member of staff's foot. The atmosphere and format of our prayers are not nearly as important as the essence of our prayers. That is touching the Almighty God with our whole being, and what matters most is that we have an encounter with the God of the universe. God promises that he will hear and answer the prayers of everyone who trusts Jesus. That there are no rules for prayer. And here's, let me give you a little practical guidelines taken from Jesus' teaching on prayer that might help you in your prayer life. So firstly, pray confidently to God as your loving Father. Pray naturally, expressing your dependence upon God. Pray simply, trusting Jesus. Remember that God will answer our prayers in the ways that are best for us. Read the Bible and pray in line with God's will. Remember, no issue is too big, no issue is too small to pray about. Pray with good motives. And if you're confused and don't know how to pray, just tell God that you don't know how to pray. And then the Holy Spirit will understand your situation and will help you in that moment. So three things I would encourage you to remember about prayer. Firstly, keep it honest. Secondly, keep it simple. And then thirdly, keep it going. Don't give up. Keep it honest, keep it simple, keep it going. So anyway, let's turn our attention to the principle of fasting. See, every year at this time, I get more questions about fasting when we launch our 21 days of prayer and fasting than I do about anything else. So let me remind you that prayer and fasting go hand in hand. They belong together. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses a number of important spiritual practices, including giving, praying, and fasting. In each case, he places the main emphasis upon the motive. When we observe these spiritual practices, it shouldn't be to impress people, nor are they a measure of our spiritual maturity. Practices such as giving, praying, and fasting are important because God can use them to lead us in life, and he will reward us. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I just want to have a look at a few verses there. Matthew 6, verses 5 through to 8, firstly. Should be up yet behind me. So when you start at verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. See, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. It's a given that if you're a Christian, you should be praying. We need to take the initiative. We need to stir ourselves up to pray. And in Acts 16, we find Paul as he went from city to city, strengthening churches in their faith and also spreading the gospel. The first place that he always sought when he went to a new place was the place where the prayer meeting was happening, where they were praying. Before anything else, he would go to the place where people will already be praying. And situations then started to open up as a result of prayer. You see that in Acts 16 and also in Acts 25. And Paul, like Jesus, he lived in an atmosphere of prayer. The spirit of prayer preceded always breakthroughs and opened up opportunities to share the gospel and release that supernatural power of God. And we too need to live in this atmosphere of prayer, where we are easily moved to pray for the different things that we encounter. So let's then just jump down a few verses in Matthew 6 and look at Matthew 6, verse 16 through to 18. Jesus says there, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You notice again it says there, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. Not maybe, but implying that we should be. We should be fasting. And the Bible clearly tells us that spiritual fasting intensifies prayer. Jesus himself fasted for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry, releasing a great power into his ministry. So he expects that we would also spend some time fasting also. And Paul enunciates fasting as a vital part of his life. You see this in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 11, and fasting often. But the question is then, what is fasting? Well, fasting is voluntary abstaining from food or other legitimate enjoyments for a specified period and for spiritual purposes. Let me tell you, fasting is not a diet. Spiritual fasting is not a diet. We can fast from food, technology, entertainment, whatever it is. Fasting is willing to set aside legitimate appetites of the body, whether it's food, entertainment or technology, for a specified period of time and concentrate on praying and seeking God. It not only lends a note of urgency and persistence to our praying, but it is also a powerful personal discipline to train our will, to develop our self-control, to tune our spiritual sensitivity towards God. We don't fast to try and manipulate or force God into action. God always answers according to his will. Instead, fasting and praying aligns us to the purpose that God has for each and every single one of us. Often we end up with tunnel vision and we only see the immediate, but God sees around the corner and moves us always towards that. Though we might not fully understand the mystery of fasting and prayer, I believe that when we willingly set aside appetites of the flesh to seek God, then things happen. Firstly, we are clearing a space for him to come and speak with us. Secondly, we're calling out to him to quench our thirsty hearts with his presence. And let me tell you, there's also spiritual blessings and benefits that come when we fast. So let me give you a few of these things. Fasting can firstly help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Who would love to see revival and spiritual growth happening? Yes, fasting can help this to happen. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Then my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." See, whenever the people of God became dull and complacent and they responded to the call of prayer and fasting, they would always experience revival. You read that in the Bible all the way through, they become complacent. Then they started praying and fasting, the revival came. Every time. Spiritual fires are lit up once more. And from time to time, we find ourselves become complacent or dull in our spiritual lives, when we feel far away from God, the best thing that we can do in that situation is to fast and pray for our own spiritual vitality to be restored in our lives. God never ever moves away from us. We are the ones who always drift away from him as we get distracted from the cares of the world. So fasting can firstly help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Secondly, fasting can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. When we are fasting, we can receive clear revelation and direction from God. Just look at the church at Antioch in the book of Acts. We read in Acts 13, verse 2, it says, "While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." And then Acts 14 at verse 21, "They preached the gospel in that city and were a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Listeria, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. 'We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God,' they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust." See, as the people worshipped and fasted together collectively, they received direction and revelation from the Holy Spirit for decisions or tasks that lay ahead of them. The collective prayer and fasting played a vital role in the growth and development of the New Testament church. And over the next few weeks, as we fast and pray collectively as a church, be expectant. Be expectant that God will speak clearly into the life of the church for the season that lies ahead. Be expectant that he will do that. So fasting can firstly help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Secondly, it can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. Thirdly, fasting can help free people from spiritual bondages. Mark 9, verse 28, it says there, "When ye have come into the house," his disciples asked him privately, "why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." See, Jesus had just returned from Mount Transfiguration and found his disciples frustrated because of their unsuccessful efforts to cast out a demon from a local boy. But Jesus delivers, and then later when Jesus is alone with the disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting." See, I believe God wants us to be ready to set people free from all sorts of spiritual bondages, especially in the days that we are living in today, where the practice of the occult and New Age is so rife amongst the population. See, as we fast and pray, God will give us power and wisdom to move in spiritual authority. We will be able to cast out these demons. We will be able to do that. You still awake? Like, we will be, it fills me with, I get excited by this stuff. Like, see transformation in people's life, and I believe we will see this happening today in this very room as we pray at the end of this message. So fasting can help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Fasting can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. Fasting helps free people from spiritual bondages. Fourthly, fasting can help push back or loosen the demonic powers over a situation. See, in Daniel chapter 10, God had revealed to Daniel great prophetic promises and a grand disclosure of his purpose for his people. But the Bible says the appointed time was long. The appointed time was long. You see that in Daniel chapter 10 verse 1 in the New King James translation. Daniel began to fast and pray as he was praying, and the angel appeared then and said in Daniel 10 verse 12, Don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in to answer your prayer. I wonder how many situations today are awaiting us as a church where we began to recognise that maybe God's appointed time for deliverance has come. The time has come for some of our extended family members or our spouse or our children or our parents who are in need of Jesus. That as we take to prayer and fasting collectively as a church, the powers of darkness that are holding people captive can be pushed back and can be loosened. The hearts of people are the battleground where the enemy seeks to keep them locked up in darkness. And as we pray and fast, we can bring light into those situations. Our fasting and praying in agreement during this season can bring about the promised deliverance that we have been longing for in people's lives. That's why I get so excited when I'm praying for five people every day who will come to faith in Jesus. Like, I don't stop after the 21 days. I keep praying for the whole year. But just imagine, just look around how many people are in this room. Imagine if everybody's praying for five people, praying and fasting over these five people to come to faith in Jesus. Like, we need three services in this room. Like, the possibilities are endless. We serve the God of the abundantly more. Why is that not possible? Some people are excited by three services in this room. Like, are you praying for five people every day and believing and trusting and expecting them to come to faith? I know Joan Melvin has seen people come to faith at this time of year when she prayed for the five people. I'm excited by that prospect. So fasting can help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Fasting can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. Fasting can help free people from spiritual bondages. Fasting can help push back or loosen the demonic powers over a situation. And fasting can help us navigate the journey ahead with confidence. Ezra chapter 8 verse 21 says, I proclaimed a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from our enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against us all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. See, the corporate prayer and fasting that Ezra undertook with his people helped him navigate that journey that was ahead of him with confidence. This action would have been a testimony for their future generations, for their children, for their grandchildren, everybody who accompanied them on that journey. Here at Found Church, as we begin a period of fasting and praying, like Ezra, we want God to help us navigate the journey ahead of us with confidence, so that we can leave testimony for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. They can look back and say, Found Church prayed and fasted in January 2025. Look what God did. It's not just for us in the here and now, it's for the generations that will come behind us. The band can come back now. I have no idea how long I've been speaking for, because there's not a timer, so it's good. Thank you, Sophie. So fasting can help initiate revival and spiritual growth. Sophie, take that away. Fasting can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. Fasting can help us free people from spiritual bondages. Fasting can help push back or loosen the demonic powers over a situation. Fasting can help us navigate the journey ahead with Jesus. And number six, fasting can help deepen our intimacy with Jesus. In Matthew 9, verse 14, it says, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. See, Jesus is saying there in this moment, since I am with them right now, they don't need to mourn or fast. But, however, when the bridegroom, Jesus, is taken away, once he ascends to the Father, and before he comes a second time, there's going to be fasting for the disciples. And the context of fasting here is to convey our deep longing for his presence in our life. There will always be this ache in the heart of God's people for the not yet kingdom of his presence and power to manifest here and our here and now. Fasting here is a powerful statement that says to Jesus, I want you more than my food, more than my entertainment, more than my technology. You are more important to me than all of those things. It's saying to Jesus that I want to pursue you with all my heart, that I long for you, Jesus, that you are my treasure, Jesus. I long for the day when you will return. Fasting here is an exclamation point expressing our ache, hunger, and desire for Jesus. And these are some great reasons around why fasting and praying is so profound and powerful. But let me tell you, by nature, every single one of us is inclined to take the path of least resistance. Trust me. Like, I know what I'm fasting from. It's hard. It's hard. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's hard. We want to avoid the pain at all costs. We love shortcuts, let's be honest. We love shortcuts. We tend to avoid disciplines. However, God says when we do fast and pray, He will reward us. So can I encourage you, church? Decide what you're going to fast from. Food, technology, entertainment, or something else, whatever it is. Block out a specific time that you will abstain from it so that you can pray and seek God. Don't fast and then complain that you're missing it or you're struggling or you're having a headache. Whatever it is, fast and pray. Fast and pray. Be consistent. Stick with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. Set a specific period of time, 21 days or 19 as we're a couple of days in already. Set a specific objective, what you would like to focus on in prayer during that time. Prepare yourself spiritually. Take time to read the Bible, to worship, to journal like David encouraged us last week. But more than all of that, can I encourage you to believe that God will move incredibly in and through us as we fast and pray collectively as a church? Like, we're not doing 21 days of prayer and fasting because every church around in the ancients doing it. We're doing it because we believe God's going to move in Found Church and do incredible things in the life of people here in Found Church and the lives of the people that we do life with. That's why we're doing it. We're looking for God's direction. We're looking for Him to be speaking to us, to develop that intimacy with Jesus, to help us navigate the journey that lies ahead, to loosen those demonic powers over situations that we are facing, to help free people from spiritual bondages, to give us clear revelation and direction from God, to help us initiate revival and spiritual growth in people's lives. Who doesn't want any of those things? Three people. Like, that's why we're doing these things. Like, I'm telling you, I've got a blinding headache. It's because I'm fasting from something. But the more, I'm not thinking about that, I'm just thinking, every time I feel my headache, I'm praying. Like, I'm praying. Jesus, I'm praying for those five people. Here's their names again. Help me. Whatever the prayer request is that day, from the church this morning, I was praying for the services, for the worship team, for our pastoral team. Saturday morning, we are praying for our building. Like, so as soon as I think about that, I'm thinking, what are the prayer points for today? Let's pray. And the best way I was thinking, so I hope you're encouraged to fast. I hope you're encouraged to be praying. Like, David put that challenge out last week about seeing 50 people coming on Monday night to the prayer meeting. We doubled the number that normally come, but we never had 50. There's plenty of space for tomorrow. And then as we gathered on Saturday morning, it's good to see people on Saturday morning. I know it was early, 8 o'clock on Zoom. Let's see even more people next Saturday. Because we believe in and trusting in these things. Like, we're not just doing it for the sake of doing it, because we want to see things changing and we want to see God working and moving in and through us. And the best way, I think, to finish our service this morning, we're not just going to talk about prayer. We're going to pray. Like, let's be praying. Like, do you believe in the power of prayer to change situations, church? We're getting better. Like, so the band are going to lead us in a song. We just want to pray for people. Like, I want to pray for you. If you need direction in what to fast from, come and let us pray for you. We will ask God to give you direction. If you've got a specific situation in your life that you need help with, let's pray and ask God to break the spiritual bondages that are holding you back. If you need healing in your life, let us come and pray for you so that we can receive that healing today in your life. Like, we all say we believe in prayer, and as I often say, the only prayer that's never answered is the one that is not prayed. I've said this before, and the biggest frustration that I always get as a pastor is when people walk through the door and say, Stephen, I should have came forward for prayer today, but I never. And I'm thinking, well, it doesn't really do anything for me. The only person that's missing it is you, because God never had an opportunity to work and move in your situation. So I'm just throwing that out there. So what we're going to do is, our band are going to lead us in a song. And we would love you. Come, there's plenty of space here. It's great. There's loads of space here at the front. Members of our pastoral team, Mike and Dan.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.